This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Here's what Merrill Hodge said to me when I had him on the show prior to the draft in April. He said, if it's between May, as in Drake May, and Jaden Daniels at number two, Merrill said, quote, it's simple. I would rush up with the Daniels card. Not even a question. Not even a question. I would not blink at doing that. I would get him up there ASAP over May, closed quote. He also said, drafting Drake May at number two is how you get fired. He had first round grades on Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels, but Daniels was the quarterback he liked. And this was, as we told you before the draft, Merrill's gotten it right. CJ Stroud, Joe Burrow among the quarterbacks that he has gotten right in his evaluation prior to drafts over the years. He joins us right now, courtesy of our BetQL guest hotline. BetQL allows you to bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Merrill can be followed on X, on Twitter, at Merrill Hodge, MerrillHodge. Longtime NFL player, longtime NFL analyst. So, before we get to how you would handle this week with the rib injury to Jaden Daniels, what have you thought about his first, you know, six games plus in his NFL career?
Extraordinary. I think that, you know, like, coaching is such a critical component of transitioning to the NFL. You know, you got to have a good skill set. We could talk about, you know, what he had at LSU, what he developed from Arizona State, from when he started, to what he truly had that helped him transition. But then, you know, what I've been most impressed with, and usually gets ignored, is just the value of coaching. You know, the running game that they have designed, it is the equivalent of a Baltimore and a Detroit. Okay, and that's elite. And they're raw. They're still young at it and learning. They have been able to do things in the passing game and running game because of his overall skill set. You know, where he's better than C.J. Stroud is his ability to run, you know, and they take advantage of that. Now, sometimes, I don't know how he hurt his rib, but, you know, when you run a guy, you do run the risk of injury, and that's the only dangerous thing with it. But what they have done from a running game perspective and a passing game perspective, they are fun to watch, and they are one of the best offenses in football, you know, and they're one of the better dangerous team. You know, that Baltimore game I thought was a great example of growth for them. I've been in team games where you're like, okay, there's the bully on the block, or there's the standard, and how will we measure up to them? And they didn't go away. Yeah, I know they didn't win, but that's how you can just grow within the season. Not we will benefit next year. I mean, you'll benefit throughout the year just playing teams like that and getting better and understanding how much better you have to get in order to compete for a championship. But it's a fun team to watch. There's a lot of good things, and they're on the upswing, not the downswing.
You know, I want to come back to what you said about how, you know, they're running the football, the Kingsbury influence, how he kind of elevates the run game because he, too, is a run threat. But what I loved about the Baltimore game, and I'm curious as to your thoughts, is that they basically decided we can't run the football against their front. We're going to be a one-dimensional football team, but we believe in this guy, even against contain rush, to deliver from the pocket over and over again. And he did that.
Yeah. Well, you know, they didn't necessarily surrender. Well, really, just weren't really successful at it. That's what I'm talking about. Like, some of your growing things, like, where are you in your running game versus where Baltimore is? Right. I mean, that there's a great example. You know, you're not like light years behind them. You're just a little bit behind them. And you can grow through the season with that. But to your point, I you know, Jaden Daniels had a skill set. First of all, when I say skill set, so let me emphasize what the priorities are to help you transition, how I look at it, from college environment to an NFL environment. You're going to have to play in a dirty pocket in the National Football League. So your ability to process things quickly and decisively and be accurate with that, and then you sprinkle in anticipation with that, like, you better have that. If you have, the more that is established, the better you are at that, the better chance you have. Now, Jaden Daniels was up in that category with the C.J. Stroud and the Joe Burrow, okay, where he does have the advantages, his ability to run, his speed, and that dangerous element above those guys. But that's what has helped him. And, you know, you go to Kingsbury, and the name has escaped me, but you have a run coordinator.
Anthony Lynn.
Yeah, Anthony Lynn. Sorry. Okay, yeah, I don't want to get his name out there just because Kingsbury. I'm going to tell you this one. Kingsbury came in this league. The Steelers were going to play there. I remember getting ready. I was studying the Cardinals, and they were like typical college. Like, college is all played on the perimeter. Like, you know, the passing game, it's like bubble screen, smoke screen. I mean, lateral. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, he hasn't learned. Like, you can't play like that in this league. You just get destroyed. You can't play on the perimeter. Our hash marks are different.
Right.
You play in the middle. Anyway, it just like – so he deserves a lot of credit. How he's evolved and the things that he has learned in transition in the passing game and to take advantage of Daniel's skill set. You know, I don't want to minimize that. How they've designed the run as a staff and the passing is and fit it around a kid that has a great skill set. You know, they're not sitting there trying to develop all these things I just mentioned, from pocket awareness, processing, and accuracy like they are in Chicago. Like in Chicago, I mean, Caleb Williams struggles in the pocket. To their credit, though, he is getting better, and he's trying. Like, you could tell he's trying. There's some guys who just won't even try. He's at least trying, but he's not the processor. Because think about this. You can tell when you watch him in the pocket, he's thinking. He's trying to stay in the pocket. He's thinking through what he's doing. And when you occupy that part of your processing, which Jaden doesn't have to, it's a natural reaction for him. So as he's dropping back, he's like, one, two, three. He knows where the ball's coming at the top of the drop. Caleb Williams gets to the top of the drop and goes, okay, now where do I throw it? Okay, so that difference right there, you can see it. That is a big difference in growth. Doesn't mean he won't eventually get there, but that's a process that takes a while where you guys don't have to deal with that in Washington. You know, and then you just start growing faster. Now you learn how to play against defenses and how to execute against those guys and get better in your own craft. And that's a big advantage for where you guys stand right now and to where you can be at the end of the year.
Love that stuff. I went back and listened to when you were on with me before the draft, and you talked about, you know, accuracy, processing, throwing with anticipation, functioning within the pocket, pocket awareness. Like, if you don't have, you made the comment, if you don't have a sampling of that or you're struggling in that area, it's only going to get magnified in the NFL. And Mike Shanahan, who, when he was here, became friendly with a lot of us in the media, and he always said, and I'm curious as to whether or not you agree with this, he always said, if you don't have those things that you discussed, the accuracy, the processing, the anticipation, it can be coached up, but never to an elite level. To a functional level, yes, but when you're looking for those quarterbacks, you've got to have that naturally and have already shown the ability to do that, or there's only so much of a level you can get to.
And he's dead on. He is dead on. I've argued with people all the time. When you get into quarterback gurus, you know, they're like, oh, you can fix accuracy. I say, okay, well, later. Now let's define that for people, because if you're really erratic, okay, can you bring it in a little bit? Yes. I don't think there's any question. But you're never going to be – okay, like Jaden's very accurate. What's interesting is Caleb is less accurate because he's so erratic in the pocket. You know, he's working so hard at getting better. You know, that he's so, yeah. And I think that will work us out, because he's accurate already, but he's been very inaccurate. So I was like, whoa, but because he's not very good in the pocket is why. Once he gets better in the pocket, his accuracy will be better. Drake May is erratic. He will make throws that you'd be like, oh my gosh. And then he's going to make some throws you're like, oh my gosh, what though is that? Okay. that is the way he is. That is the way he has been. That's his entire college career. It's how he's been thus far in the NFL. And most of the time that shows up when it matters. You know, critical moments, that's when you got to trust things that you're so good at, to your point with Kyle. That is the exact truth to all of those. You can help them in certain degrees, but if they're so far off the charts, why even waste your time in trying to do that? Because they will always disappoint when it matters. You know, that's why between Drake and him, I was like, oh, that's not even a question. But there's not even a question. This isn't even a thought process. Based on the evidence that we have going into it, you don't even consider the other kid, because there's too much work there to be done. And there's too many, you know, things that you only can get so far, and they will always come back to haunt you. And it's going to haunt you when it matters, because he can give you all this hope, because he does make some throws. Like, I don't know if I told you, but I could put a highlight reel together of all three guys we just mentioned, and Drake may have blown them all away. Throws he made. But if you look at the body of work, you're like, oh, God. All these things start to show up. You're like, wow, that's 60 minutes of ball. This is like a highlight reel. So I trust the 60 minutes of ball over the highlight reel.
By the way, Jaden's highlight reel was pretty impressive, especially some of the runs. But I know what you're saying. We're talking to Merrill Hodge. Merrill is really, really super sharp at analyzing football and this position in particular. So I've talked a little bit about the following, and that is the utilization of Jaden as a dual threat quarterback. You've already talked about, and we've seen it, the processing, the accuracy from the pocket, the quick release, by the way, which you haven't even mentioned. You know, the mechanics are solid. But, you know, there are the extension off platform, scrambling to throw. Everybody understands that if you end up scrambling, that's a part of a game that the quarterbacks really almost have to have this in this day and age. But then there are the designed runs versus the option runs. Designed runs, you know, old school would be naked boot, quarterback draw. But now we see, you know, going back to Cam Newton and Josh Allen now and Jalen Hurts and Lamar, we see quarterback counter, we see quarterback power, we see quarterback sweep versus the read option, you know, where the quarterback's optioning off the defensive end or the outside linebacker. The designed runs, especially quarterback counter, where you're running into traffic and you're running into sometimes a pile, do you think that should be a part of the game for Jaden Daniels or not? Because they've made it a part of it.
Yeah, you got to be careful, and you got to trust your quarterback. And actually, you know, he's done a good job of really getting down. Now, the play you're describing, really, by design, they're trying to get more of like a sweep approach, so they're on the edge versus, you know, like a power type run. They're trying to avoid those things. You know, they're making it look counter one way with your back and a sweep the other way with your quarterback. You know, people indicate it as the counter, and it's really not, because they are trying to get to the perimeter and keep him out there for a couple reasons. One, you know, there's less abuse out there, and there's more options to get down. You know, and actually the way the Ravens do this and Washington, and I know of nobody else that I can think of.
And the B gap sometimes.
Yeah. They use him as a horse. I mean, he's like a power back. That's what you want to do. You don't want to do that with Jaden, because he's built. He's not built like that. Now, that's right. Both of them are dangerous. Even a guy like Josh Allen. I mean, listen, Cam Newton, really, beginning and end of his career, was getting hit too much, you know, running too much. I mean, that's their whole problem in Indianapolis. That is his total strength. And you just can't win like that consistently. You know, it's a great element to have. It's a great phase. But, man, I mean, what is everybody raving about Lamar Jackson right now? His overall ability of playing better throughout the pocket and the design, how he's throwing the football, and which is he's even increased that a little bit. That's going to be your deciding factor with him. That phase and that wild card that you get with the running game, yes, it's enormous stress on a defense. It's something you have to constantly be thinking about and prepare for. So that's a heavy load. Going back to Jaden, I really think they do a good job of trying to keep him on the perimeter. And the inside stuff, even that, you know, he's been very judicious in when he gets down. Now, I don't know how he got hurt. I was watching.
It was a zone read. It was a read option. Defensive end crashed on the back. He kept it. And there was a lot of room. And he was trying to cut back to score from 89 yards out. He got tripped up a little bit and then literally went head over feet in sort of an awkward tackle with two defenders.
Okay.
Yeah.
See, you know, he didn't leave right after that, but I could tell he was hurt.
He kept,
because it's his left side, right?
His left side.
I remember just watching him on tape. I was like, God, when did he go? And I was trying to figure out areas that he got hurt, because I noticed that another time he just went down right away. And I was like, well, he must have
already been
hurt.
That was a couple of plays later. He was hurt. Yeah. He didn't want to take another shot.
Yeah, and I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's a pro. The only reason I'm asking because I know I could tell you how. You know, if you play, it depends on how bad it was. You know, is it a break? Is it actually ribbed cartilage bruise or tear is worse than a break?
Right.
That takes longer to heal, and that's far more painful. I've played with broken ribs and torn rib cartilage, and it was, I did it in college. I did it in the NFL. My college game, I lasted about two plays, and I just was done. And so, you know, I mean, it's usually a 2-week process before you can really feel like you're able. And see, with him throwing, I mean, you just don't realize how much core work is involved in throwing until you start throwing with the bad ribs. So I don't know when he'll, I don't know if he'll be able to play this week. It'd be too bad if he doesn't or if he can't, but at the end of the day, it's probably a 2-week injury, you know, if depending on how bad it is, but not knowing how bad it is matters. I go with this. It's probably not really severe. Cause severe, man, he wouldn't have stayed on the field. But ribs are nothing. No, they're not fun. They're not fun at all. There's nothing you can do. There's nothing you can get comfortable with.
There's nothing you can do with that. You just have to let it heal.
Yeah, and that's hard. You know, to sit there and wait around all week. You know, and this would be one he'd want to play because you got Chicago coming into town. And but you guys got, I mean, you got bigger fish to fry than just one game, you know, and you did well without him, you know, and that's
what would your, if this were your decision as, say, the head coach in the organization, what would you need from him starting tomorrow when they begin to practice for Chicago to clear him and to say, we're good, we can go? Would you need him completely 100% healthy or like how would that be approached by you?
Well, I just want to see what he could do, how well he could function. Because having experienced that, I know that like from tomorrow to Saturday, there could be a lot of improvement, you know. So I'd want him to walk through things that he could walk through, you know, do as much as possible. But clearly know that this might not be a scenario where he's going to be able to play, you know. This one would really be almost a day-to-day because – having experience, you can, you know, now the first week is so miserable, but listen, I couldn't play another down after it happened. I mean, I broke him and then separated my rib cartilage. So that was like, I don't know exactly what he did. You know, I don't know if details
they
are.
They haven't been specific. They x-rayed not broken. That's
good they're not broken, but that doesn't mean,
like you said.
That gets even worse, you know. So if they're just maybe bruised, you know, and there's no real significant cartilage damage, I mean, he might have a chance to play this week. What I'd like to see is him just get better. I'd walk him through, you know, he's a smart kid. He's played smart. You've seen him play smart. You're listening to the point of the season where you're not going to be he's going to be able to get through the mental aspect of stuff to be prepared. And then if he feels like he can really throw it and really play in a way that – you're capable of playing and you're not out there hurting the team because you can't play, which I got to make that decision too. If you're a coach, you're just like, I know he wants to play. That's a given, but can you really function in the way we need you to function in order for us to win this game? Well, that's what I need. And if you can't, then we'll get you next week.
Yeah. We are talking to Merrill Hodge. I'm curious as to what your opinion over the years has been of Marcus Mariota if he has to start the game Sunday against Chicago. And I don't know if you had a chance to see him play against the Panthers. He essentially played the whole game and play well.
No, actually, here's what Marcus allows you to do, which I've always thought is value to your backup, is that you can execute the offense that you already have in place.
Right.
You know, from every aspect, from mobility aspect and a throwing aspect. You know, Marcus's struggles have been his consistency. You know, and that's, you know, now listen, the defense you guys faced last week is going to be different than this one.
Sure.
You know, it's, and so that you have to take that into consideration. But he allows you to do the same things that you did. So that means everybody's still a player in the offense, versus a guy who's like, okay, we can't do half of the run things we did because our quarterback can't move. You don't have that problem. So you can really call. And then listen, every guy's going to be a little different as far as what I like and what I feel confident in versus, you know, Jade may feel confident in five other things that Marcus does not. And that's not a hard thing, but they're within the offense and the structure of what we call. So it's just about getting plays that he really likes and feels comfortable running. But you look at your running game, because your running game is built on a mobile quarterback. It doesn't take that away. And that doesn't hurt.
Right.
That means, you know, your offense isn't hurt by that. And going back to the, you know, Jaden can't play. It's just one more week where he could. I was at 2 weeks. I could almost promise you that he, based on, you know, the information you've given that we had, he will be completely better in a couple of weeks versus this one.
You've said something a couple of times that I meant to follow up on earlier, because this has been a conversation here over the first six games. The dual threat nature, we understand he processes, he really throws the ball well, and he does all those things that allow him to throw the ball well from the pocket. But the dual threat nature, him being involved in the running game, just elevates the offense and the rest of the running game. You're a big believer in that, aren't you?
Well, I am. And here's what you have to have in that, which you guys had a guy there that had no clue about this. Like, RG3 had no idea how to run the football in the NFL. None. You know, I mean, he had no idea when to get down. He had no sense of that. He had now you can say that's bravery. You can call it whatever you want. It just it the end of his career. You know, that's why you got to have a guy you can trust to get down or get out of bounds, surrender when he needs to surrender, and take less hits. And that's what I liked about Jaden, to be honest with you, probably stood out the most. Forget about how dynamic he is and the speed he uses. He's like, I trust him as a coach. I can call plays and know that he's going to do the right thing for us. You know, it's first and 10, even if it's say second and 10, he can get 9 yards and get down. He'll get 9 yards and get down. He's not going to try to get that first down, you know, and take a hit. I don't need that. And he does a really smart job with that. And that's,
I mean, he did that at LSU in part because they couldn't afford to punt. Their defense was so bad. There was some context around that.
Yeah, you're correct. And then in the NFL, that's a different environment. You know, we got.
Although the defense isn't very good here either, by the way, Merrill.
Well, they're better up front than, you know, than most. That is, you know, your front, you know, your box players, you know, and they're not, and that is bad as, like, say, ones you just played, you know. But listen, you got to be excited about the team, though, as a whole, with where you're going, you know, versus where you were, you know. Like,
let me ask you, because I've got like a minute and a half left with Merrill Hodge. Just real quickly, in the NFC, where do they fit in among the teams, not in the division, but just overall in the NFC?
Okay, this is what I was going to say. Okay, before the season, everybody was looking at schedules. They rate schedules, you know, and they're like, strength of schedule. I'm like, okay, that's based on last year. I'll tell you this right now. If I got to pick this week who I played, Washington or San Francisco, you know who I'm picking? I'm picking San Francisco.
Of course, the schedule game is total fool's gold. It's about when you play the team, not who you're playing,
and the development and all things. Because that schedule is based on how they played last year. You know, I go, you know, that it always changes every year.
Course.
And I'm like, that tells you where they stand. I think they're the best in that as a team. I think they're the best in that in your division right now.
Right.
You know, Philadelphia with you guys, that'll be a heck of a matchup. You know, I think you're better than Dallas, both sides of the ball. I think you've already played the Giants, right? Did you guys play those?
Yeah,
weekends?
Beat the Giants.
Week two. Yeah, you beat them in Washington, right? Or were you guys there?
Yep. I forget, in Washington.
Yeah. Yeah, so you've already handled that. And but you're the – right now, based on how you're playing from a consistency aspect, you're better – you're the best team in that division. That's all you got to do.
NFC North loaded top to bottom. NFC South, Atlanta, Tampa. NFC West, the 49ers in trouble right now, obviously, with all the injuries. Where do they rank in the NFC?
I got them probably in the top four. Seattle is a team that's like that would make – Seattle would make me nervous. You know, they're another team that, like, they're just – they're tough. They're good. You know, there's nothing that just, like, stands out about them. But they – man, you just don't – you don't want to be up there. You'd rather have them come to you. Yeah. One of those teams.
Detroit, Green Bay.
Detroit's the elite. Detroit is the elite team, and Green Bay. You know, I put them in a top five of teams in the NFC. I think they're the best in their division. That's good enough to get in the arena. And once you get in the arena to play for the Super Bowl, man, then you just got to win a few games to get it done.
Merrill Hodge, everybody. Really appreciate it. Love your insight. Thanks. Hope you're well.
Anytime, Kim. Take care, buddy.
Yep. Merrill Hodge, at Merrill Hodge on Twitter. We'll talk to Mike Sando from The Athletic next hour, talk some NFL with him. I've got sort of an upon further review, which includes something I didn't...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Do on yesterday's show, grade Marcus Mariota's performance. I'll get to that next. Kevin Sheehan Show. The Team 980 and theteam980.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.